Good morning. When we were singing this last song, his blood and his body is enough. I just had this picture go through my head, so I'm going to share it. But sometimes it's from God, sometimes it just might be me, but hopefully it's a good thought. I don't know if you remember the movie Private Ryan some years ago. It's just a made-up story, but it was powerfully done. But at the end of the movie, when they saved the young Private Ryan, his life is saved, and the main actor, Tom Hanks, is literally dying, having saved this young Private Ryan's life. He's saying to him, make it worthwhile, make it count. Make what all this sacrifice was about, make it count. And they jump to the end of the movie, and Private Ryan is now old man, and he goes to visit the graveyard with his family, and he finds the sergeant who saved his life, and he's kneeling there, and he's talking, and then he talks to his family, and he says, I've been a good man. Haven't I been a good man? I'm feeling it. I've tried to live a life that's worth the sacrifice. And as we're singing and taking communion this morning, it just, by the Spirit of God, speaking to me, and I'm just challenging you here this morning, that make it worthwhile. Make it worth what Jesus did. And that's no small sacrifice. And it's not out of some kind of guilt and shame. It's out of a thankfulness, out of a gratitude to God for what Jesus did for us. Is my life, what I'm living for, worth Jesus dying for? You've heard all the evangelistic sermons, I'm sure. But is what I'm living for worth what Jesus died for? And I want my life, and I want my experience and my effort and my just to somehow reflect the value of what Jesus did. And so we're praying for people with serious issues this morning to just know that his blood and his body is enough. Hallelujah. It's enough. Amen. Maybe someone need to hear that. You and me, we need to line up our lives. The other message this morning is the Catholic priest's message. But he was waxing eloquently. And I just heard it. I don't know where they come from. Stuff shows up. But he asked the fathers in his congregation, if someone broke in here today and was, or into your home, was going to shoot your wife, shoot your children, would you lay down your life for them? Would you get in the fray and pay the price to save their life? And hopefully everyone was saying, yeah, saying that in their heart. But his point was, the devil and the world and everything around us is trying to destroy our children and our wives and our families right now. And our job is to pray. Sir, you have been given a position and a responsibility and a job to cover your family, to stand up for them and to fight for them and to protect them. And so that's my challenge this morning. It goes back to our marriage weekend, family impact weekend, and those words are sticking with me of men are passive and women's independent. That was Adam and Eve's sin and the curse that came on them, and then what Jesus did for us to break that, and Paul challenges us in Ephesians to submit to one another. Wives, submit to your husbands. Love one another. Wives are to respect and to honor. Husbands are to love like Christ loved his church. And there's no place for a passive, out-of-touch father, husband. Let me talk to them because I am one. To rise up and step up for your family, to pray, to be present, in the moments. And not absent, not AWOL, not all those sermons you've heard over your life. And may God help us to not be passive. That was Adam's curse. It's why he was there, but he was passive. And Eve was independent. And you heard the messages if you were here over those few days. And may God just keep reminding us again and again and again and again of our responsibility to raise our kids. I would say to mothers and fathers right here this morning, raise your children. It's your job. It's your responsibility. It's not the school. It's not the church. It's not somewhere. I remember so many times, and I don't even want to start using examples because it's too close to home. Just be present. Amen? Those are for free. May God help us. May God help us as a church to just step into the fray, to be prepared to live a life pleasing to the Lord. That's my prayer this morning. When we pray, when we have prayer, I'm on to stuff, so I might as well keep going. When we have our morning prayer meeting and we stand there, I just thank God for everybody that comes. All I want to say is, do not be passive in a prayer meeting. Be active, be involved. Let your voice be heard. You heard the words this morning about everybody stepping up, everybody being involved, everybody bringing something. I should have Jonas preach his word this morning. But just, it's everybody. What we bring, if you remember his example, his word was, everybody was fed, everybody was satisfied when you bring what you have. Doesn't mean you have to bring the whole lunch. You just bring what you have, and God multiplies, and God supplies, and God meets needs. Amen? Amen. I'm taking Frank's story. This morning, we're going to carry on with talking about what did Jesus do? What we want to be like Him. As we get to know Him, become more like Him, our lives start to reflect more of Him and more of what He's like. And hopefully, like the disciples who spent time with Him, they started to be like Him and do what He did. And that can be a lifetime. I take courage from the disciples. You know, they're walking with Jesus, and I don't know if you should blame the mother or the disciples, but, you know, their request was, who's going to be the greatest? You know, which one of us is going to get the... He says, you have no clue what you're asking about. And he said, you will taste of what it means, but you don't know what you're talking about. And so careful what you pray for, but may we be like Christ, and may we do what He did, and be like Him. So last week we were talking about the Sabbath. I don't know how you're doing with your Sabbath. Have you got that one day a week set aside to just rest and delight in the Lord? Or have you taken at least a half an hour? Or do you take a lunch break? Or do you go for a walk? Or you do something to set some time aside to just stop the everyday life activity and give some priority to God and to Him and to waiting on Him. And this morning, we're going to talk about solitude. And again, I have to admit, somebody thanked me for being honest about Sabbath, so let me be honest about solitude. One of the hardest things in life is to just stop and to allow space, to quiet our brains. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I think it's kind of scary what our phones must listen to us, eh? Because you know, I'm going to talk about solitude, finding rest, and here's what shows up on my phone when I open it, is when work or ministry is an idol, rest feels like sin. Ouch. Thanks, Siri or whoever is here. Or somebody, one of you send this. When work or ministry is an idol, rest feels like sin. Just before I read the scripture in Mark chapter 1, some of you are going to wonder about me this morning, but you know, we first came to Canada, back to Canada, we're from Canada, but came back after many years in Africa, could talk about culture and all kinds of circumstances and issues, but it seemed to me, and I'm been boiled like the frog slowly since I've been here, but when we first came back, and I know, and it's true, and I used to speak more on it, but it seemed like the only thing that was respected or
I would say honored or was held in high esteem was work. If you're working, good on you. It kind of overshot everything. You could, if you said work, well, that it's fine to ignore your family. It's fine to ignore the things of God. It's fine to miss anything that the church is doing, whatever. It's, work was just kind of honored, almost idol worship, somebody said out there. Yeah, it's like, and you know, I remember when he came back, my son's in Australia. When they do a year's work, I think it's 4 weeks they get off. South Africa, we had a month off per year. Not talking about myself, I'm talking about in general. You start a position, you get the 21 days, whatever. It was like, it was just expected that people would have these breaks. And my son in Australia, as I was saying, after 7 years, I think it's 6 months, mandatory, paid leave. And the only downside is some of the rascal companies will fire you after 6 or 7, just before the break, and so you don't get your break. But it's a mindset, and I think it goes with the climate. As winter starts showing up around here and frost on the ground, everybody just, you can just feel people just kind of tightening up, and they're going to get into this thing, put their head down, and get busy. And so this morning, this message is kind of countercultural, if I can say that, kind of challenging us to, you know, and there's some who need to get a kick in the pants and say, get to work. But generally, there is this attitude that work is honored. And it's not, don't hear what I'm not saying. The Bible says if you don't work, you're worse than a heathen, the pagans. Take care of your family. But what we're trying to talk about is quieting down, finding some solitude, some space in your head. Is that okay? So Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 39, you can put it up, says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed, talking about Jesus, and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and they said to him, everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let's go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. As I said, the only thing that seemed acceptable or people liked was work. And I'm challenging you on that this morning. Don't quit work. Keep working. But solitude is foundational. Let me just make some powerful statements. It's foundational of all the practices of Jesus. Here's a quote. Without solitude, it's virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. The Bible talks about a quiet place. Jesus would withdraw to a quiet place. And that's when I get to the end, I'm going to use three examples of his life and just challenge you, and hopefully something will grip you. Many times, if you're like me, but I see it so many times, people are afraid almost to quiet down their life. If they just quiet down, just the scream in their head or the pain or the unforgiveness or the stuff just starts coming alive. So they just keep busy, they keep working, they keep drinking, they keep sexing, they keep doing something to just keep the noise in their head quiet. And it's not an answer. It's like we had this young guy when we were in construction in Bible school. I worked with Brian for Lutz Koszewski, well-known construction man. Mercury Construction. But we had a young guy, he's a long-haired guy, nothing against long-haired guys. We all had long hair back in those days. Hanging long, I had beautiful locks. I know you find that hard to believe. I'll send some pictures if you don't believe it. This young guy, he came to work and he was, anyhow, he had a hard time. Construction, we were framers. It was There was no nail guns in those days. It's you just work from 7 till 5. And we'd have our 15 minutes and our lunch for half an hour, whatever. It was a full day. I was 20, 21, 23, whatever it was. You're fit, you just work. And this young guy had never pounded a nail in his life. He showed up, and a nice young guy. But after about the second day, he started smoking again. This was his story he's telling us. And we're like, what? Why? Like, that doesn't go well with this kind of work. And he said, well, you know, I had six things coming down heavy on me, and so I just started smoking again. And we're like, okay, so now you got seven things coming down heavy. You know, it's like the guy who's got problems and then he just drinks himself into oblivion, and then he wakes up and he's just got the same problems plus some more problems. It's not an answer, right? And so I don't know how you got to do it. I can tell you some of my stories, I will. But you have to find a place where you can quiet down this world, your head, your thoughts, and get to a quiet place where you can hear God. Is that okay? Will you do it? Will you fight for it? Will you ask God for wisdom in it? It's been said many times that there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only God can fill. And we keep trying to fill up this void in our lives with everything. And that was the whole story of the 70s and the Jesus movement. They tried free love, they tried drugs, they tried everything. And that's when we got saved, the early 70s. God just made it real to them. None of it fulfilled their life. There was nothing. I think we're in a place like that right now in the world where you can try, and people have tried everything there is, and we just keep being bombarded with all the stuff just to try to keep us busy, try to keep our, you know, worrying about something else out there, whether it's a pandemic or climate or what it is. All the stuff just keep us. And we never stop to think about what really, really matters in life. And I believe God is putting his finger on that in us. Here's a good question for you. I've asked it many times, but be honest. Be honest. You don't need to put up your hand, but answer it for yourself. Do you know that more money is not going to solve your problem? It's not going to make you happier if you have more money? Have you figured that out yet? A new spouse or a different spouse, if only my spouse would do something, is not going to fix your problem. It's not. A new job, you fill in the blank, whatever comes to your mind. Because if we don't get this message early, you'll spend a lifetime frustrated, looking. And I pray that you get the message quickly, that we need to find a place in God to satisfy this soul of ours and the hunger that's in us. So first of all, you can put up the next slide. I believe I have it organized so nicely. Solitude is a vital practice for spiritual health, emotional well-being, a way to reconnect with God. Solitude allows us to unplug from distractions, quiet our inner noise, and confront our inner thoughts and struggles, which are often buried by the busyness of everyday life. Solitude is a way to embrace silence, to slow down and experience a deeper presence with God, following a rhythm practiced by Jesus, who often withdrew to a solitary place to pray. A hurried lifestyle detracts from our ability to be present and connected. And that's one of the things I was talking about. To be present, to be connected, not only with God, but with family, with spouse, with people, to be present and to be connected. It's countercultural. Everything comes at us, never stops. That's what I was saying about our phone. It's like, I wonder what I'm going to get next. Hello, I love Jesus. Let's see what it says. Many people, you know, a time of solitude isn't about loneliness, but a retreat to refocus, to recharge, and to realign ourselves with God. Just on that thought, I want to say, you know, people, a lot of people live alone. We're not talking about just being alone. Alone isn't the answer. But to have true solitude means to come away from your everyday and to quiet your heart and your mind and your thoughts and the circumstance and the kids and the family and job, and we can go on and on. So it's not just about being alone. It's about being in a place where it's quiet, where you have time to hear God. Secondly, solitude, you can put up the next one, is a place that we can meet with and hear God. Amen? It's so quiet and so solitude in here. One of the hardest things to do is to quiet our brains, to kneel down to pray. I don't know where you pray, where you kneel, where you sit. I have plenty of time right now in our home where there's just Lori and I. Early in the morning, she's sleeping, I'm awake. I have a place where I go, where I read the Bible. I'll talk about it in a minute. But you still have to fight to get solitude, to stop your brain from going all over the place. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. I know it's the flesh. I know it's the devil. You kneel down to pray, and it's like, Father in heaven, I wonder if my car is going to get fixed today, and if the tires, do I need winter tires now? You know, they seem to be out of balance. Oh, God. And Father, I thank you for Enjoy Life Church. Yeah, but what about that rascal, Brad? It's like, I can just about pray through this congregation by where you guys sit. And it's okay. It's okay. I sit here. It's like, Lord, help my mind to just listen to you. Yeah, but what about the Sunday school? And no, it's like, I don't know what fills your head, what takes your thoughts, but somehow we need to get away and find a place of quietness and a place of rest. Amen? Let me use some examples. I've done the 30-day Bible shred a few times over the years, a number of times, and we've promoted it as a church just at the beginning of the year to read through the Bible, the entire Bible in 30 days. And I love it. And it's not for everybody, and you got to hear God and do your devotions how you want to do it. But what I like about it, and it takes from 5 to 7 every morning, 2 hours to read through the whole Bible in 30 days. But there's just something good about being alone with God and nothing but my Bible and reading through it. And it's not like you're doing a Bible study. It's like you're reading to get the themes, to get what God is saying. And it's amazing how He speaks to you as you just read through His Word. Find a place. Find a time. Find somewhere where you can spend time quietly resting your soul, hearing God, talking with Him, and letting Him speak back to you. You know, Lori and I were talking this week, but I can tell you the places, and I hope you have a list of them yourself. I can tell you the places, starting in Swan Hills when we were first married, going to language school in Musoma. We lived in Bukoba, Tanzania. There's a lot of solitude back in 1981 in Bukoba, trust me. Mwanza, Dodoma, Dar es Salaam, Pretoria, over in Hayward Crescent, and now we're in Chappelle. I can tell you the exact places where God gave me to find solitude and quiet. Most of them were in our home. Most of them, you know, when the kids were younger, it was a bit tougher. We had offices and places we went. But I can tell you, I could tell you every one of those places and what it meant. And then I could tell you, if you cared, what God spoke to me in those places. Not every day, but the big things about ministry and about our family and about our finance and about where we would live in the world and where we would go. And those moments of God speaking, you know, in Swan Hill, sitting in the office there, it was a baby nursery in the community hall. That's where my office was. Little pictures of bunnies and rabbits on the wall. But that's where I would meet with God. And He spoke to us about going to Tanzania. And I could, my head's full of stories like that. And the reason I'm saying that is that God wants to meet us more often than just the big moments, but just those times when we can just wait and hear God speak to us. And I know He wants to speak to us. And coming to church like this, I pray that there is moments where we just reflect when we're taking communion and we're, you know, the worship guys are singing about His blood and His body's enough, and it's just like it seeps into your soul, and it's a taste of the good things, and He wants us to have that more and more and more, more often. So where's your quiet place? Where does God call you to be able to hear Him, to listen to Him? God, you know, this one, I'm saying it carefully, but your choice. Find a quiet place, find moments when God can speak to you, or God has a way of getting your attention that you don't really want. Because He cares. He cares about us. He wants us to hear what He's saying. He loves us too much to just let us flop around through our lives. And He has a way of just getting our attention through circumstance, through things that perhaps wasn't our first choice. And that's not a threat. I'm just saying, why not hear God in the stillness, in the quiet? Be still and know that I am God. It's like, okay, I want to know your God. I want to hear your voice. One thing I have enjoyed when we do the prophetic prayer meetings, we have an amazing prayer team, and we're meeting once a month, and we just pray together and talk and share around prayer and how to encourage prayer and the prophetic. And sometimes we'll just take a couple of moments in a meeting. We're just together and say, okay, this is going to be our exercise. Somebody come and stand here. You don't know who we are. We're in a circle. Go make the circle. Okay, what is God saying to you about Russell? And it's amazing if you just take a moment, and we just, sometimes it's not like Russell's going to move to China and be a missionary for the rest of his life. Sometimes it's just a simple word. And how many times that has encouraged us. And I shared it with a couple of the, you know, Nicole was one. What's your name again? Jen. I know you well. I could name different ones. In those prayer meetings, some of the words that came were the most encouraging words in my life. And a couple of them, I'm still living on them. Just how God, in a moment, spoke clearly to someone about us. And I'm telling you, God is here this morning. God is speaking. God is with us. He's with you in your life. But we have to quiet down sometimes and just hear, what is God saying? What does He want to do in your life? What's He speaking to you to encourage you and to strengthen you? And, you know, we use this, you know, the screen with a word of knowledge and a, you know, just in a moment. And it's amazing how just that encourages someone and builds faith. And we pray and we believe God for those miracles. Last week, Russell prayed for my knee. You know, I'm not the smartest guy. Don't say amen there. But a couple of years ago, kneeling on the, I don't know what started, but what made it come real was kneeling on the cement in our garage. My garage was frozen, and I'm changing the summer tires to winter, and I can feel this burning in my knee, and not smart enough to change anything, just kneeling there. Anyhow, some kind of infection, inflammation, something in my meniscus. And I remember, so I have this brace, And if I'm careful, the pain would, I wouldn't feel it too much, but it's one of those chronic pains that don't go away. And anyhow, that was a couple of years ago, and then it stopped, and I've been careful. And then this October, what do I do again? I'm working on my car in the garage, changing some stuff, and I'm kneeling. I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, you're just sweating, and it's just about undone, and I tore my thumb off on one thing, and I'm like, I'm not the smartest mechanic there is. And my knee started this burn again, and I'm like, oh, God, forgive me. Anyhow, last Sunday, Russell prayed for my knee. And you've heard the testimonies. I felt this warmth go through my knee, seriously. So I thanked him, and I said, and by the end of the service, my knee did not hurt. Marcy would say it's the cayenne pepper, but it's not. I felt the healing of Jesus in my knee. And it's not like one of those things where you're kind of worried about and it's going to come. It's healed. The pain left that day, and it hasn't come back. And I'm thanking God for it. And so, can we just quiet our brains sometimes? Whether it's in our prayer closet or whether it's, you know, in the midst of holding your new daughter till 6 a.m. in the morning. I want to say it's God's revenge. No, it's God's blessing. We raised all you precious children just the same. But you got to find a way to find some peace and some moments with God. So in Jesus' life, one of them we've already mentioned, but if you go through the scripture, you'll see before the beginning of his ministry in Matthew 4, 1 to 11, after healing and teaching crowds, Mark, that's the verses we just read, and before his crucifixion. I mean, those are some serious incidents in Jesus' life that he, being our prototype, Jesus is our example, amen? He's the one we're trying to be like. He's the one we're challenging the whole church to get to know him, become like him, and then do what he did. One of the things he did was to go to a quiet place, go to the desert, go to a place of solitude and quiet, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's examples of his life, and just wait on God and pray and speak to God and listen to God. I remember years ago, because they don't allow it, the last time we were in Israel, they didn't allow it, but years ago, when we were visiting Israel and we're in Jerusalem, we could go to the Mount of Olives, and you go right under the olive trees that are 2,000 years old, and it's right there. We'd kneel down, they'd give us opportunity to go quietly and kneel in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's still amazing, and kneel there and start to pray. And I'm telling you, you know, God isn't stuck to one place or anything else, but there's something good about seeing the Sea of Galilee and praying like Jesus up in the caves looking over the whole lake and in this Garden of Gethsemane. But just to take those times, but it's not like we're going to have those opportunities very much to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray under the olive trees where Jesus prayed. But the example that he gives us is that we have to find a place to go and pray. We have to find a place to quiet our lives. And I'm saying it over and over and over. I don't know what else to say. To find a place that's quiet, where you are alone with God. And it can be in your car driving to work for some. It can be in the mountains. It can be special occasions. It can be in the Garden of Gethsemane. But you got to find a place. And if Jesus needed it, that's my biggest argument this morning. If Jesus needed those moments while he was in ministry, before the crucifixion, when he was being called into ministry at the beginning of his ministry in his life, taking time to go and listen to God and to the Holy Spirit, then how much more do we need it? How much more? How much? What does God want to say to you that you're not hearing? What is he going to have to scream at you pretty soon if you don't listen now. If you don't quiet your heart, if I don't quiet my heart and listen and say, God, here I am. Speak to me. Listening to God. And, you know, I said about Sabbath, it's not like I have this amazing history of taking Sabbaths, but one thing we have done, and we're going to talk about it more, we're going to talk about praying, we're going to talk about fasting, we're going to talk about community, some of these things that Jesus did, it's coming, it kind of all starts to jumble into one thing. But one thing we have done as a family is we have fasted one day a week over the years for every Tuesday while our kids were growing up, praying for them, praying for their spouses to come. And it used to be, it would cost to do it. There were so many times people have appointments, have meetings and ministry, you were traveling in those days, and you just say, no, this is the commitment I'm making. And so I'm asking you, what are you prepared to do to find a place of solitude, to find a place where God can quiet down your hearts and minds? And I'm telling you, Jesus has said it, and we read it last week. He says, come to me, all you are heavy laden. Find rest. Take my yoke upon you. What's his yoke? It's his teaching. It's his way of life. It's how he lived. Take that on us. And one of them, is to find a place of solitude and peace in your life. Shut off the music. Some people find peace in music. I don't. Find a place where you can talk to God and he can talk to you. Amen? I'm going to ask the band to come. And we've prayed and we've had communion. And I'm asking you again, is what we're living for, what we're doing, reflecting the value of what Jesus did, of how he shed his blood and gave his life, his body was broken for us. Am I living a life that reflects that? And I think this area of finding some solitude would help us, would help all of us. And you say, well, pray for me because I don't have that place. I don't, just to quiet my mind, I need the Holy Spirit. I just have this picture of the world just screaming, just coming at people, coming at us with what we need and what we don't need and just attitudes and there's just not peace. And so I'm going to ask you this morning as we close out in song, if you need prayer in that area of your life, you say, God, help to quiet my life, quiet my mind, quiet my heart. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to just say, just see God just speak peace over your life and over your heart. Be still and know that I'm God. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we sing, Brad, you can close how you want. But if you need prayer this morning, you don't know the peace of God. Let's start there. You don't know his peace. You say, I need Jesus in my life. Why don't you come and let someone pray for you? Make him Lord of your life, Lord of your minds, Lord of your hearts. But if you're here this morning and this week, stuff's coming this week, I don't know. You say, I just need the peace of God. I just need help. I need the Holy Spirit this morning. Why don't you come and let someone pray with you? Amen? Amen.